Anyway, while you have the conch, can you tell me about Dunlin? They're a little bird. D-U-N-L-I-N.
Well, the Dunlin, it's not a misspelling of the name of the capital city of Ireland, though my computer spell checker often tries to tell me that it is. Actually, it's a bird. It's a member of the wader family. It's a very small little wader. And we get them year-round in Ireland, though far more are present here in the winter than in the summer. In the winter, you can see them sometimes in flocks of thousands, scuttling around like little clockwork toys on beaches. They're kind of a greyish-brown kind of colour. They have little legs. They have a beak. It's relatively long. It's a small bird, though, roughly sparrow-sized bird, with a long beak, though it's longer in some individuals than others. It's quite variable. And they blend in with the kind of colour of the sand on the beach. In the summer, though, we do have a core breeding population. It's one of our rarest breeding birds. And they look quite different. They're more camouflaged. They blend in with kind of heath and heather, sort of spangly with those oranges and gold in the plumage above. And then they have this big black patch on their bellies. They're completely different between the summer and the winter. In the winter, that belly is pale. They're lacking that black patch. You can tell what stage they're at in terms of their breeding each year. And as a breeding wader, in common with most of our breeding wader species in Ireland, unfortunately, they've really declined massively. And currently, there's a breeding wader EIP, the European Innovation Partnership, there to try and help to recuperate the population of breeding Dunlin and other waders to recover.
Well, important you said that, because Ireland's first pilot head starting programme for Dunlin is taking place in Fota Wildlife Park, making it the second conservation centre in Europe to be involved in such an initiative, following Nordens Ark in Sweden, which began a similar programme in 2023. And now, as part of the pilot project, three clutches of Dunlin eggs were collected from nesting sites and transported to Fota Wildlife Park. To find out more, myself and Richard had a chat with Jess Hodnett.
Yeah, so just a quick intro, I suppose. I work at Fota Wildlife Park, and we are the partners this year on the Breeding Wader EIP project. So that project covers a number of wader species. We've been working with curlew in previous years, but this year it's a pilot year for head starting Dunlin. So I suppose just a quick intro onto what head starting is. So I suppose Dunlin are a species of conservation concern in Ireland. They're red listed in Ireland. So head starting would just be a conservation measure that we can use to try and help that population. So with license from the National Parks and Wildlife Service, the project is aiming to take eggs from Dunlin and rear them in kind of a controlled environment, incubate the eggs and rear the chicks, and then recruit and release these healthy chicks back into a potentially failing wild population.
Potentially failing, you say?
Yeah, so I suppose, like I said, they're a red listed species, and there's numerous pressures that the species faces. Our breeding population of Dunlin is in kind of a critical state. We're looking at between 30 and 50 pairs left in the country.
Oh my goodness, total?
Total.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
I suppose it can get a bit confusing. People are familiar with seeing Dunlin around the coast in the wintertime, but those are overwintering birds that kind of visit and migrate here and feed here over winter.
There's nothing nicer than seeing a flock of Dunlin when you're walking along Dollymount Strand, but those numbers are really shocking. Can you tell me, how do you know they're down that low, the numbers?
I suppose just working with the National Parks and Wildlife Service, and they've been monitoring these birds, over a number of years. And I suppose the habitat that they breed on as well, where it's on the macker habitat, that's also a kind of a habitat that's in decline. And so just through monitoring and things, we just know that the population is in trouble.
Now, just before I let Richard in, you better explain exactly what head starting is, or should I say, just remind our listeners, because we have discussed head starting on the programme many times.
So head starting is a process whereby we take some eggs from birds in the wild. This is all done under licence with the National Parks and Wildlife Service. And the eggs are transferred down to us then in Fota. And at Fota, then we incubate those eggs and hatch out the chicks in a kind of controlled environment. We rear those chicks then until they're about 15 days old. Those chicks are then transferred back up to release sites, and they'll be at the release site then for a couple of days until we know they're healthy and flying, and they'll be released then back out into the wild.
Richard.
Yes, and that is...
Hello, Richard.
It's a virtuoso... activity, that's extremely difficult. I have very occasionally been able to see a Dunlin. They do in the breeding situation, they do the broken wing trick and things like that. But to find the nests and to find them early enough, yes. I presume you want to take the clutch so that they lay a replacement clutch. Is that the procedure?
That's exactly right, Richard, yeah. I suppose we're partners with the breeding Wader EIP and with Life on Mocker, and those guys have their team on the ground, nest protection officers and field officers, extremely skilled people at locating Dunlin, looking at Dunlin territories and being able to locate nests. It's, imagine, an extremely difficult task. Once they've found those, then early in the season, preferably, they take the whole clutch. And exactly like you said, typically then the pair will relay again. And so in an ideal world, you're actually doubling the chances of that bird to produce chicks.
Well, now the next phase of the operation is rearing them in captivity. You are likely to imprint on them. To what extent do the baby Dunlins imprint on their parents? When they come to be breeders, if they do, will they not know what to do or the right partner to choose? Is there any risk of that? Do we know that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So I suppose the interesting thing about them is that the chicks are extremely precocial when they're hatched out. So they're very well developed. They've got downy feathers, and from day one, they're running around in the wild. They're running around looking for insects. So we have found at FOTA as well, this is a pilot year where, you know, the chicks are quite nervous of us, and obviously we want to maintain that kind of wildness in them. So we do have lots of protective measures that we use so that the chicks don't imprint upon us. We'll use screens and curtains, and I suppose getting them to feed then would be extremely important, and we've found that that's been quite easy. They're very, very precocious. Like I said, they're chasing. So we'll provide them with live insects, and it's amazing just to see them up and running around from day one, essentially.
Do you wear gloves with Dunlin heads for the fingers or something like that to give them the impression that they're being fed by a wild bird? Or do you bother to go that far?
That would be nice, but I suppose the rearing strategy of Dunlin, it's interesting just comparing the different species. We've worked with corncrake in the past, and the parents of the corncrake typically feed for the first, you know, week or so, bill to bill with the chicks. So that rearing strategy, if we had to do that, a puppet would be very important, just so they have no association with us. But because these chicks are so precocial and they're so triggered by movement and insects, we don't have to be as kind of careful with the puppets. But as I said, we do provide the screen, so we'll just pop in insects. And we also have a kind of a specially designed pellet, which is nice and high in protein, just to get the chicks kind of growing really, really well. So we'll throw some live insects onto the pellet just to encourage the chicks to eat that, and once they're onto the pellet, then they're away, they're growing away.
Now, in the wild, the babies come out in the wild and they migrate, they head off. Do we know that chicks come back to their natal area? We know that the adults do. The adults get fixed on a place and they come back every year. They go their separate ways for the winter, but they remarry in the spring the next year, and usually, most of the time, sort of thing. Now, do the babies do the same thing? Do they necessarily come back to Mayo or Donegal or wherever it is? And how do you choose the place to release them if they do that?
Yeah, so I suppose we're modelling our project. We're the only, the second kind of project in Europe to attempt head starting with this species. And we're modelling our project on Nordens Ark in Sweden. They've had, they've been running a Dunlin head starting program since 2023. And I suppose we'll need to wait a couple of years before we can kind of assess the success of the program, and whether those chicks are, you know, migrating and coming back specifically to, you know, exactly where they're released. The release sites typically are chosen, I suppose, close enough to the natal area. And I suppose some of the criteria that would be important for release sites then would just be that, that we reintroduce chicks into healthy habitat, lots of insects, and potentially with adult Dunlin around, just so they can kind of recruit back into a healthy population that way. You know, it's a learning process, and we'll just have to, you know, as I said, it's a pilot year, so we'll just have to see how we go with these chicks and hope that we do see them returning.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck, Jess. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Derek. Thank you.
Lovely stuff. And more details on the website rte.ie/Mooney.